We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein.
Olin Krutz on the Football After Show.
You want to see a little more anger come out of the team for what happened last week. It happens again, and Tom Brady's joking about it. Mance joking about it. Romo's joking about it. If you don't take that personal, all week, I got Green Bay fans in my Twitter and my Instagram DMs going crazy because I said, I'm going to punch Aaron Rodgers in the face. Like, they're passionate fans. That's fine. That doesn't bug me. But then the team, you hear no one on the team say, enough. No one's bothered by it.
Layla Rahimi.
When he's saying that, he's speaking as a leader. He's talking about somebody who wants to take it upon himself to tell people, this is not okay. And it's alluding to what Kevin Fishbane talked to, too. When we don't hear from those people who we think they might be, where are the answers as to how to fix this? It shouldn't just be on the coach.
Kevin Fishbane.
We can't go in the locker room and talk to guys and ask them to talk. You're counting on guys to take accountability. So here's this team. Their rookie quarterback's getting thrown around. He has to talk to us twice a week. There hasn't been a single Bears player, I think, other than Justin Fields, who's talked to us twice a week, except for Khalil Herbert. After they lost to the Packers, we talked to two rookies and two second-year players and Sam Mustipher. That tells me all those veterans in the locker room, like, you guys go deal with it. We're not talking to them. To see veterans not taking part in that and leaving their rookie and second-year teammates hanging them out to dry, the fans then don't get to get explanations, don't get to understand kind of what's gone wrong.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
With Bernsey and really Mahimi.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
But that's all okay, because it's another losing streak, and the Bears are apparently in their comfort zone. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And on this Tuesday, Craig Calcaterra will set the scene for the start of the World Series tonight at 10 o'clock. There are some Chicago-related baseball rumors as well, and some labor discussion that he'll opine upon. Midday Midway at 10:40, Sage Rosenfels, 12-year NFL quarterback, breaks down Bears quarterbacking. 11 o'clock, Paul Charchian thereafter will help you out with your fantasy team and the waiver wire, and we have surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is the Score listener line. It is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You want to send an email, that goes to Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live, because we stream at 670thescore.com. Your texting is in the text zone. That is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein Rahimi. She is at Layla Rahimi. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download that Odyssey app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. And you can interact with the show and the station on Facebook if you want to contribute to the downfall of society and worldwide democracy. So you're better off with the Twitch stream, and that is twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And that is directed by Evan Thomas and Connor O'Donnell. And you can hang out there and you can look at us. Hi, see, you got the cameras here. And you can talk to each other as you so often do. We call it the show within a show within a show. It's like meta broadcasting at this point. Whatever it is, we know you enjoy it. So keep on doing that. We've got a bevy of producers today, comprised of Rick Camp, Mike Rankin, and Ray Diaz. So last night we all watched the Bulls get a win, and then we came away from it hoping that they don't all have to look like that.
That was really good and then turned into the classic, this is why a lot of people only watch a game in the last 2 minutes game, because that's when things got really hairy. It was like a slow burn from the middle of the third quarter until the very end of the game.
They played until they had to play real NBA half-court offense, things looked fine. They need work. The half-court offense is janky, and it is because, I mean, I adore Lonzo Ball. He is a pro's pro, but he's just not a half-court point guard. He really isn't. And he doesn't have the on-ball half-court dribble speed to get that corner turned. They also have too many guys who they trust with the ball who don't want to finish at the rim. And that goes for both Ball and Caruso. And I love their defense. When those guys are on the floor together, you can barely get a pass off because they're so good defensively. But if you notice, even when the corner gets turned, they're still in a pass-first situation, and everybody knows it. And it's rare that they're just going to go hard to the lip of the rim and try to get fouled. So they're going to have to figure it out, because you can't rely, especially starting now. You don't want to be in October and have to be clearing out for DeRozan to try to save games for you against another team that you should beat anyway.
Right. And at the same time, I think the transition game is fantastic, but you can't rely on that either. It's just like what you said, when you have to run sets, how is the team going to respond? And I think they're still trying to figure out how to share the ball too, whether it's LaVine or Vooch or DeRozan. But the good news is, in this case, in a game where you would say the Bulls of the last several years would have lost, that is not the case with this team.
Well, they have the firepower now. You just don't want to be too reliant on it. Because, man, when they're in the open court, it's a democracy. When they're in the open court, it's whoever is running to the middle of the lane, whether it's Vooch, whether it's, or he, I don't know what's wrong with him, by the way. He looks awful. But or Alize Johnson or Patrick Williams, open court end to end, they're popping it around, they're finding guys, but man, the half court just gets, everything gets tightened down. And this is on the coaching staff now to find a pressure release that isn't a clear out for DeRozan doing all his spin moves.
Right. And I'd like to see it. And don't you think he played a little bit more motivated of a game because it was his former team? We heard about that, too, all throughout the beginning of the game. And Casey talked about it on the pregame show. And we heard the nice comments from DeMar talking about how he felt like he was really embraced when he moved from Southern California to Canada. Pretty much a diagonal line when you think about it on the map.
Maybe, but I don't put too much stock in all that, especially for a 32-year-old. I mean, maybe a young guy who has just joined his second team coming back. I don't know. I like to think that professionals are equally motivated depending on, you know, night in, night out. They know what they're paid to do. And the Bulls finally have enough seasoned pros to go to. It's a matter now of making this all fit. And If this is what Vucevic is, and I know wasn't he questionable with some kind of illness early in the day?
Yeah, that's why I don't think that there's something particularly wrong with him. I think he was just not feeling well. So his legs would indicate that was the case. Some of the odd turnovers would indicate that that was the case. So I'm not going to put anything on him if he was just sick or not feeling well and had sluggish legs. I think that happens. And as far as DeRozan, he said it was a motivator for him. So that's where I go. When a player says that it means something to them, then it means something to the player. I take him at their word.
I guess I sometimes do. Sometimes I think they're being helpful to provide their friends in the media with what they may need at any given time. Whatever it takes, whatever he wants to do, fine. I love what Donovan's doing right now early in the season, experimenting at the end of his rotation. Whether you're using Ayo Dosunmu, whether you're using Troy Brown Jr., he knows he's got to figure out that ninth, tenth spot before Kobe White comes back, and he's gonna have some proverbial good problems to have because he's got a lot of energy in that second unit. This is the time of year where he's watching as much as we are, And a lot of this is leap of faith kind of stuff, depending on matchups. And it's really interesting how he's doling out some of those minutes, and we'll know later in the year and into this this portion of the schedule. It doesn't get fun right now. You know, you can go from 4-0 to 4-4 real quick. So celebrate it, enjoy it. I mean, last time they started a season 4-0, I was a second year beat reporter. That's a long ass time ago.
Yes, it is. But I think when it comes to Donovan, the rotations we're seeing, they're still trying to. We saw this a little bit in the last game too, didn't we? On Friday.
Yep.
The idea that he was going to have a different combination on the floor to end a game or end a half than we thought.
Oh yeah, because he's not sure yet. And the what's interesting is it's really hard to take Caruso out. It really, because he's leading the league in deflections. He's among the league leaders in steals. He had some bad moments last night, but he is generally both a calming presence and a disruptive force, if that's possible. But he understands score and situation. He and Ball are just they're just bullies defensively, which is something that we haven't had here for a while, of someone who can be that kind of agitator under control. But ultimately, because he doesn't finish, he's not going to be a fully complete player. This is all, we get to watch this get worked out in real time. And it's fun to pay attention to the people who are logging lineups and minutes and some of the plus minuses and how this all works, because we get to see a coaching staff learn on the job as we all are, because it's a very different mix.
I think that's been the whole trying to figure out the picture here. When we saw the weak side rim protection from Patrick Williams last night, mm-hmm. in a key defensive stand, what are we seeing there? We're seeing a compliment to Vooch, aren't we?
Yep.
When we're seeing the turnover creating presence of Caruso in the steals, we're seeing a compliment to Lonzo Ball, and especially that transition game that we talk about. It's trying to figure out how all these pieces work together to create the whole. And we talked about it last night. Lonzo's defense has gotten better since game one, and it's game four. It seems to be even more impressive to me. Just the way he was able to affect shots without even having to do contested shots with his hands up, to me. The way he's just able to use his body. And then thusly,
what he
also
did to Ananobi, when he is in a matchup, yes. giving up height and length to OJ Ananobi, and just, you know, when you're taught defense, they always tell you never look at the offensive player's eyes, always look at the belt buckle. Always look right under the belly button, because nobody can turn without that thing pointing in the direction where they're going. And he just has an innate sense of looking at someone's midsection and predicting where the guy's feet are going to go. And it's you can teach a clinic off his on-ball defense.
And then also Caruso somehow breaking up a 3-on-1 to prevent that bucket from going in. And here's the funny part is, those details, how much did they matter at the end of this game? 100%.
Yeah, they often do.
I said to you, if the Bulls had led by anything less than 20 at the point of their biggest lead, clearly they're not winning this game. So those details end up coming back, and Dragic looks slow, and he had the chance to finish on a couple like in the first quarter. And because he didn't, those ended up mattering later in this game.
Yeah, I'm so my default status when Dragic comes in against the Bulls, whether it's the Heat or anybody else, is that he's like one of those like I just have memories of him. I've got PTSD from him and JJ Barea, like these backup point guards that come in and just torch the Bulls. And I kept expecting it, but he looked every bit of 35. He really did. And that play by Caruso that you mentioned when he broke up the 3-on-1. You know what memories I had? You know who's the best I've ever seen at breaking up odd man rushes when left is the only man on the back end?
Who's that?
John Paxson. Pax was great at that. He got really low in his stance, and he always knew how to play to one side without overcommitting, enough to get a hand back, enough to change a shot at the end. He was great at that. And I remember after he had retired, I had a conversation with him about it. I think we were at a bar in Charlotte or something like that. And I just said, I want to let you know that at least somebody recognized it. And he said that from high school, he always took pride in it because there really are ways to be good at that. And Caruso's just got it.
Yes, I completely agree with that. And luckily for us, Caruso is not an executive for any team. We just get to watch
well, someday
him play defense and
someday
and
maybe
him having that. He is that type. He could be, I assume. But there's a lot of the Bulls where I could say that about them. I still think Rondo is going to be the greatest head coach of all time. That's my own theory. I am crazy. I don't care.
No, I don't think that's so wild. Just as far as total basketball IQ, I think everybody agrees with you on that. It's a matter of, does he want the aggravation?
If Jason Kidd can get this many opportunities in the NBA, then Rajon Rondo deserves every head coaching opportunity there is.
Yeah, Steve Nash. I mean, like, I certainly wouldn't rule it out. No question in my mind. Hey, when we come back, I want you to hear a sign of maturity and a sign of a change in expectation from the immediate aftermath of that sort of stolen victory by the Bulls. What one of their key players had to say, and then in the back of your mind when you hear it, contrast it with stuff you hear from the Bears. That's coming up next on The Score.
Adonobi gives it up on a shovel pass to Barnes. Wide to the right, Van Vliet, dribble drive, jump pass, threw it away! Intercepted by Caruso to Levine. What a costly turnover. They're 21st. Holding and looking, Lonzo. For the ball fake, still looking, puts it back, he threw it away! Intercepted by Barnes! And a two-handed stop with 14.4 left. 110-108 Bull. Three bounces. Looks at the rim. It is up. In and out. Back in. Oh, my goodness. A three-point lead for the Bulls. 111-108. Bull showing full court press. On the inbounds, it goes to Fred VanVleet. Over the midcourt line. 5 seconds to go. Driving. Right quarter. On Vooch. Crossing over. Comes up shooting. No good. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls are 4-0. 111-108. What a thriller here in Toronto.
Get out of there before they change the scoreboard on you. As Kendall Gill said, run to the bus. Hit that plane up in the air before you end up losing. What a crossover step back by Van Vliet. But the Bulls do end up winning. Those highlights courtesy of your home for Bulls basketball on the radio, Sports Radio 670. The Score, Dan Bernstein, Layla Rahimi with you. And you want to talk about coming a long way. They're 4-0 for the first time since 1996. And then I want you to hear what Zach LaVine had to say immediately after the game when he put the headset on and talked to Adam Amin and Stacey King. This is what it sounds like when expectations rise.
Zach, this is the first true test of the season that you guys receive. How do you feel you guys responded late in this game?
We didn't do our job late. You know, a win's a win, and we'll take it. But, you know, we were controlling most of the game after the first quarter. And, you know, we let them play themselves back into the game. You know, they started getting a lot more physical. They started driving us. And, you know, I think we have to work better at that closing out the game because, you know, it definitely should have ended with a one-possession game at the end with a chance to tie it.
Well, Zach, this is a new situation, you know, for you, this team from last year. This is not the same team. And what I was seeing in the last 3 minutes of that game is that you kind of lost your composure a little bit, kind of lost what you guys were trying to do. But it's a learning experience. You got to learn how to win. And these are kind of games you got to close out, and you guys got the win anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, we got three guys out there that actually had the ball at the end of the game. And we just got to figure out, you know, what time and what space and how to get it going there. So, obviously, got cut down the turnovers. But, you know, win's a win. We'll look at the film and get ready for the next one.
I love it.
That's it. You're good. I love it.
No, it's leadership. You know, where he says, yeah, win's a win. But they knew. Ball don't lie. They knew. They knew that had that thing drawn out a couple more minutes, they were not likely to win. That they stole one on the road. And
I always appreciated Zach LaVine for that. The honesty right after the game. He was great when I was working the Bulls courtside reporting for that. Like, he would be like, yeah, we played like crap last game and we knew we had to get back out there and play better. Like, he's still very much in his game mode in that moment.
Yeah, and that's not going to bother anybody. And, like, that's why when we sort of calibrate our belief system and our awareness and our understanding as fans and observers, that's why the Bears just offend us sometimes. Where, how hard is it? How hard is it to say, yeah, we sucked and that's a win, but it's still not where we want to be, instead of saying, well, you know, we lost a bunch of games. We're good at losing a bunch of games. And we grew so close together in this after this horrible loss. I mean, it gets more offensive in contrast when you hear people be just brutally honest about how they are and who they are, instead of trying to paper everything over with empty words.
You know why?
Why?
I think it's because you know exactly when people's jobs are ending or when their contracts are. You know exactly how people feel about people from the organization top down.
Yeah.
You know exactly where the votes of confidence are. And therefore, nobody's trying to protect something that they're holding secret. And then talking around everything because they can't give you any details, because that's the big thing.
Because
really think that Andy Dalton gives you the best chance to win games and you're not that concerned about Justin Fields' development, is it because this is your last season?
Yeah, your larger point, too, and if people were listening closely in the open, to hear from Kevin Fishbane just talking about how the Bears are sort of carefully hiding away veterans and or veterans themselves are hiding away, what the whole tip of the iceberg thing, the Bulls will tell you and show you and try to be open about what they're doing and why they're doing it. And the Bears are the opposite of that. And it just creates opportunities for us to fill in so much speculation. The transparency or the lack of transparency with the Bears makes everything weird. And it's gotten very weird.
And that's you'd hope a PR staff would fill in and say, we need to hear from X, Y, and Z players. We're not gonna keep protecting the same people and over and over again. We need to rotate it. But I don't know that that's happening.
It used to be, and because you also remember, you know, you were very close to Dallas, and you know guys like Rich Dalrymple, and you know there was a time when an NFL PR director was a really powerful position. And over time, some got more co-opted by the coaching staff. In general, the position carries less power than it used to, which is too bad. Because it used to be that a PR director could have a voice in a meeting and say, so-and-so should talk. And their training would allow them, in the best interest of the organization, to work their way through some of these situations. Where it meant, like in a corporation, when you talk about the public relations department and media relations department for large corporations, those people are listened to. That's not the case anymore in the NFL.
Well, no, because it's become super corporate. There's so much money in it now. It's a corporate attitude, and it's the corporatization of America.
Yeah, but regular corporations, especially publicly traded ones, are better at it than NFL teams because they have to be. There's consequences.
There's also fewer people to talk to. So that makes things a little different. The bottom line is they're not the same, but they're being treated like they are many times.
Yeah, the Bears don't have to care. There's never been an incentive for them to care about such things. But it's also why I've always just gravitated to the honesty and openness of basketball and basketball coaches who just, they don't have, it's not worth it to them to try to tell you you're seeing something different. They don't bother with it. They don't bother with having to hide behind the curtain. And
it's not just you, it's millions of people. There's a reason why the NBA is so popular and why their players keep getting paid more and more and more and more. And it's not just one guy on the team like it is in the NFL. There's a reason for that. It's because people appreciate the candor and they appreciate all the personalities and how everybody's free to actually be themselves.
Yeah, the Bulls have some things to work on, and they know it, and they know that they don't have a lot of time before everything's going to be tested and their weaknesses are going to be exploited. So I clicked on the basketball reference page for Nikola Vucevic, and it's Vucevic? I don't know. So he's shooting under 40%, and he's been leaving so many shots short it just looks to me like his, it's the old phrase, not having his legs under him. You know, he's not old enough yet where it looks like they're starting to, like the legs are starting to go, but it just, he doesn't look like he's in lower body NBA game shape to me for some reason.
Yeah,
I hope
like
that's not
the legs don't look as fresh.
Yeah, it looks like late season or, you know, mid-season lagging. Like you figure give the guy a couple of nights off, load management kind of thing. It's not supposed to look like this early.
I would be okay with that. I would be okay with the load management for Vooch if it was necessary. He was a game time decision. So I don't know why you need him against that world beater program of the Knicks. Do we get the Knicks fans? I just want the Knicks fans.
I know you do. You want your video. You want your video. Was it Side Talk? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Those are your people.
And like the guy, so the beginning of the Side Talk video starts with the little like warning that the doors are closing on the MTA and on the subway. Like it just goes bing bong. And so now people just say bing bong. And then the Magic trolled the Knicks with that. And I'm like, great. I am here for all of this. We needed a new catchphrase. It's dumb and silly.
Yeah, see, you want the Chicago version of that. I just guarantee you,
no.
you'd be immensely disappointed.
There, it doesn't exist.
I know.
Like, there's not
Chicago version is like some guy in a Marian Hossa jersey outside a Crossroads going, I love the Blackhawks and always have. That's the only version you get.
Yeah, the Chicago version also involves somebody always bringing up like Sid Luckman or something. Like and they'll tell you how many winters they've lived here because it's a contest you didn't know you were participating in, and then they still welcome you. So basically it's my Twitter replies. That's what I feel like it is. And at least like on the sidewalk in New York, you're going to get like insane energy about every single thing that exists.
Well, if you can't do it there, you can't do it anywhere. I think I'm paraphrasing. That is Leila Rahimi. I'm Dan Bernstein. Coming up next, a lot of interesting baseball talk with Craig Calcaterra. The World Series starts tonight, and there could be a familiar name returning to Chicago in free agency. All that and more next on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.